is acquitted. He is found not guilty before a trial that acquits him of the offense conduct, assault alleged against him. And he turns around and he does, in fact, sue the law enforcement officer who failed to give him his Miranda rights during the course of the investigation of this. And case makes it to the United States Supreme Court on this Section 1983 case that Mr. Tecco has brought. And the United States Supreme Court, by majority, says, nope, you do not have a cause of action under Section 1983. Justice Alito, writing on behalf of the majority, saying that this is not a constitutional right that you have. Rather, it's simply a matter of being vindicated, if you will, in the lower court, a suppression of your admission, of your confession, as the appropriate remedy, does not rise to the level of constitutional dimension. And that's Justice Alito on behalf of the majority. Justice Kagan, joined by the regular group of affiliates that she has, associates on the Supreme Court, says that the Supreme Court has repeatedly, emphatically said that Miranda has established a constitutional right. She says that Justice Alito was just plain wrong on his interpretation of this. That means, in connection with Mr. Tecco's case, that officials violating must be subject to lawsuits under Section 1983. Justice Kagan, again, contrary to what Justice Alito says, goes on to say this. Today, the court strips individuals of the ability to seek a remedy for violations of the right recorded and recognized in our Miranda decision. The majority observes that defendants may still seek the suppression at trial of statements obtained in violation of Miranda's procedures. But sometimes, again, this is Justice Kagan writing in dissent, such a statement will not be suppressed. And sometimes, as a result, a defendant will be wrongly convicted and spend years in prison. He may succeed on appeal or in habeas in getting the conviction reversed, but then, what remedy does he have for all the harm he has suffered? Again, playing out a possible scenario, even in the wake of a conviction, if in fact Miranda was improperly invoked or not invoked at all. And so we've got plainly a disagreement among members of the Supreme Court, as we have in many of these other cases, that in Vega versus Tecco, and a further exposition about the nature of Miranda rights in America in 2022 and beyond. And so that begins to conclude our arc, this five-show arc of Supreme Court cases from this past term. Very much appreciate all of your comments, your questions. You're listening in to our discussion about many, many important things ranging across the political landscape, the geographic landscape, in various areas of our life. We know that the Supreme Court is going to be reconvening again in the first Monday of October. Right now, actually, the term continues. We know Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson sworn in right after Justice Breyer cleaned out his locker and has now moved on to retirement and some other good things in his life. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson joins the court now as the ninth member of the Supreme Court, taking the place of Justice Breyer, and she will be there in early October when the court reconvenes for the 2022-2023 term of the court, including its taking up of a number of important cases yet already identified for consideration by the Supreme Court. So let's talk about some of those. Race-based admissions, it is back. The issue is back once again. Listeners, you may recall that for years, universities, colleges in our nation, right here in Wisconsin, throughout the Midwest, have been able to take race into account in their admissions process, their decision-making process about who will be admitted and who will not be. And the Supreme Court has affirmed that in a 2003 decision. Well, the current court in this term agreed to hear in the next term a challenge to that. Specifically admissions practices at Harvard College and also the University of North Carolina. Harvard College, University of North Carolina, case will almost certainly bear the names of those universities. A special interest group called Students for Fair Admissions has accused the folks at Harvard of favoring Black and Hispanic applicants over Asian Americans. Okay, so that's the basis for the lawsuit at the lower courts. The president of Harvard has said that eliminating race as a factor in making decisions about who gets in and who does not get in would make it much more challenging for the school to create a diverse student body. That's his response to this allegation by the Students for Fair Admissions about the way in which Harvard is accepting or not accepting students. Similarly, in the North Carolina case, a like statement by the university advocating that in order to establish, to create, to maintain a diverse population of students, we need that capacity to look at race as one of many factors among a group of factors to be taken into account by an admissions team in deciding whether or not a particular student will be admitted. North Carolina case, interesting, the Supreme Court plucked that one up even before a trial judge's decision and brought it to the appellate level. A lot of issues there related, again, to the previous decision, 2003. Will that be overruled? What does that look like? What about race when it comes to admissions in America in 2022, 2023? It's coming back. It's coming back once again. And again, speaking about issues revisited, LGBTQ rights, again, going to be on the docket of the next Supreme Court term. The court's going to hear an appeal from a case that's going to sound awfully familiar, again, coming out of the state of Colorado. This one has to do with an appeal from a website web designer. She provides websites for people who are getting married. And she says she is refusing to create web pages for same-sex couples because she says doing so will be at odds with her faith. And again, she is brought into court. The matter comes to the court on the basis that she is in violation of the Colorado law that prohibits exactly that kind of discrimination against the LGBTQIA community. That sounds an awful lot, does it not, like the 2018 case, this Baker case. You may recall justices sided with a Colorado Baker, not in the substance, but basically returned the case to the Colorado courts on the basis that the administrative process hadn't treated him well, had not given his full day in court, so didn't really decide the case, but sent it back, and a victory at the time for the Colorado Baker, who likewise had refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple. Well, this time, again, coming out of Colorado, it's a website designer, and her name is Lori Smith, L-O-R-I-E, Smith. She's challenging a state law that prohibits businesses from discriminating on a variety of factors, including sexual orientation, just like the previous case. She lost the case on appeal, and she's arguing the law, the state law, the Colorado law, infringes on her right of free speech because it requires her to communicate messages that, according to her, are at odds with her own faith. Not in fact consistent with the kinds of things that she would advocate for under her religion, and kept her from posting a statement that explains her belief on her own website. She's invoked her religious rights, and the justices have indicated in granting what's called certiorari, that they're going to take up the case of whether or not her free speech rights have been infringed by this Colorado law in the specific circumstances of this matter coming out of Colorado once again, very similar to the 2018 case. We will hear about the butting up of heads, if you will, between LGBTQIA rights, religious liberties, religious rights, that issue back again before the United States Supreme Court. Yet a third case, again, environment. We talked earlier today about this major EPA case in which the Supreme Court said that the president and executive through the EPA does not have the rulemaking authority to address greenhouse gases, and said in cases where the decision by an agency is big, it's large, it's new, it's novel, only the Congress can do that, and therefore rescinded some Obama-era rules that would have placed restrictions in the interest of addressing climate changes. Basically said that the Obama administration could not go ahead with those. Well, we've got another environmental case coming up. It might be going to be the first case argued on October 3rd, Monday, October 3rd. Involves a couple that had put up a 15-year fight, 15 years
to build a house on property that federal regulators say is protected by wetlands. Ruling in their favor could let developers build more houses without having to get these federal permits, and maybe give companies more flexibility on where they can dispose of pollutants. A 2006 ruling, way back in 2006, left some ambiguity under the Clean Water Act. The question is whether or not that 2006 ruling should be applied. It has to do with wetlands under the Clean Water Act. Justice Scalia concluded that the law covered wetlands only if they have a continuous surface connection to a river, a lake, or a major waterway. Justice Kennedy at the time said, nope, it applies if, in fact, they have a significant nexus to one of those large bodies of water also out there. And so we're going to take another break here. At Morning Cannolis here. We'll get back to that Supreme Court case and then one final case in our final moments here on Morning Cannolis. This is WAUK Radio, the Shaw in downtown Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789.